Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feltman.
And Lauren, you're on Long Island right now, so you're very close to me, I believe, right?
I am. Beautiful Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island.
We were just talking about how South Brooklyn is a QAnon supporter is about to win, like the local representative down here. So there's a couple people. There's Gunardes. There's another woman, and then there's this QAnon guy, and apparently he's leading down here in Bay Ridge, which is basically a suburb of Long Island, I believe.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Home to Tony Manero.
Tony Manero. What else is it home to? Not much else, really. Last Exit to Brooklyn was set down here. Yeah. With the when they murdered.
Why don't you run?
I got on the ballot for something, but I didn't know what it was. Nobody really explained it to me. So this is the biggest problem with all this stuff. And I don't want to go off on a tangent, but like the entire local political organization is run by humans. It's not computerized. There's no systems in place to make any sense. So you basically have like all these people who are just running around like texting each other or doing whatever. But it's like it's circa 1975, the technology that they're using. So A, nobody knows what to run for, how to run for it, how to put their name on the ballot, how to do anything. If you ask one person, they'll give you one story. They ask another person, they'll give you another story. There's no wiki page to describe how to do it. And it's just really, really frustrating. There's no best practices for this. And this is, I suspect this is kind of a Democrat thing. This is kind of like the hippies from the 60s who are still putzing around in positions of power, and they're afraid of technology. And maybe I'm wrong. And we just talked to your buddy, right?
Paul.
Yeah, Paul, we just talked to your buddy, and he explained that, yeah, they use technology, right? But I mean, still call center technology isn't anything new. But it's really frustrating. So I signed up for something. I ended up on the ballot somehow, but I don't know what that means in practice by any stretch of the imagination.
Hmm. I guess that's a problem if people don't know what they're running
yeah,
for.
Exactly.
Don't know how to run for it. Maybe you won.
Oh no, I don't. Maybe I did. I don't remember anymore. All right, Apple Silicon. How's our Apple Silicon going? Have you seen this stuff?
Yes, I'm very excited about what Apple's doing. I love the new phones, and I love the silicon thing.
So I never pegged you as a gearhead, but I guess in terms of video editing and doing all that other good stuff, why do you like the new phones? What's all this HDR stuff and all this Dolby stuff that they have stuck in there?
Well, HDR is that same technology that you see in the photos, where it basically expands the color palette. And HDR really has to do with color. Dolby, I'm not too familiar with, but I believe it's the same, where it really extends the dynamic range of the color. Dolby Vision is actually used in Hollywood. I mean, it's a real Hollywood technology. So we spoke in a previous episode about where I said that Apple should make cameras.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much it. They've increased the optical zoom, especially on the Macs. I believe that on the Apple Macs phone that it's a 4x optical zoom, which is kind of a big deal.
And in terms of optical, I didn't look at this, but is it straight up like there's a little motor in there that just moves the lens?
I'm not sure how they do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't believe the lens is moving, but I don't know how they do it, but I know it is true optical. So I guess they're doing something, maybe a combination of the cameras or whatever. I'm not geeky enough to know that.
But. So would you shoot entirely on an iPhone at this point?
Yes, I have been.
Yeah.
I just did two music videos. Shot completely on the iPhone, mixture of the iPhone, and I also like DJI products. I use the Pocket, but 4K is 4K. No one can tell the difference. As we've discussed, Steven Soderbergh is shooting everything on iPhones. Yeah, it's totally appropriate for professional filmmaking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here. Yeah, so it does have optical, like literal optical zoom, but I'm trying to figure out how it works.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to get one.
You're going to get the new, the Max or whatever?
Yeah.
I'm
still on a 7 Plus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have any need for it right now.
I sold all my big cameras, all of them, all my Canon fancy shit I got rid of. I want everything to fit in a tidy camera cube.
Hmm. See, I just bought a Sony mirrorless, whatever it's called, not the Alpha, not the entry level, but like the higher level. I sold my previous Canon stuff. Just because, first off, Sony was doing great 4K, and I also needed something that I could shoot product with. But I mean, to a degree, I should just shoot it with the freaking iPhone and call it a day.
I think so. I've always been bullish on the iPhone and cameras.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of it. There's a documentary. I think it's called Side by Side, where they talk about digital and film and all the different formats, and most people can't tell a difference. They really can't.
This is an interesting question. Would you ever go back to film?
No, I never shot on film.
Okay.
The first camera I ever had was the Canon XL1. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like my first camera using the digital video tape. And then from there, I started to get into DSLRs. I shot with Canons for a long time. And, you know, once 4K really came to the phone, the benefits for me far outweighed any technical stuff. See, the thing is with a phone, and see, most of the videos I make, I'm not dealing with professional actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's corporate stuff and stuff like that. And people are used to talking to a phone. The minute you pull out a big bad boy camera, they suddenly get nervous.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side of that is I have clients where I'll pull out an iPhone and they're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. See, that's the tricks. I mean, you're kind of in a situation where you're, I mean.
Well, that's why I keep like one camera just as a prop.
Oh, nice. So you set up your XL1 and just like pretend that it's pretend.
Yeah, I don't even turn it on.
Huh. That's fun.
So yeah. Yeah. But there are some clients who don't care. They just care, you know, they see my portfolio and they like it and they don't care how it got there. You know, other people are very snotty about it. And, you know, oh my God, you're using a phone.
Well, I mean, I was shooting a lot on DSLRs, basically. So there was a Panasonic that was really nice that we were shooting with, and with the right lens, you get some nice bokeh. You get all those effects that you really can't get with the iPhone yet, I don't think. Like,
no. Well, this zoom will help with the bokeh. That's really the only thing that holds it back.
Yeah,
is, you know, that particular element. In terms of color and audio and frame rates and slow-mo or whatever, it's as good as anything out there.
All right.
You know, the only thing that holds it back is that bokeh, which is kind of overrated anyway.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the modern style, right? So I'm interested in seeing the Silicon, because the Silicon is going to be interesting primarily because it redoes the entire line, and it actually puts Apple in charge of its everything from soup to nuts, which is going to be pretty important. It also kind of locks you out. It locks you down as hard as possible because you can't run. Presumably you could run like a virtual machine on there, but you can't really dual boot into Windows anymore, which used to be kind of a fun thing to be able to do.
Yeah. You'll have to use Parallels. Yeah. One of those kind of emulator things. But if you want a PC, buy a PC, the $300.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens to all these big chip makers. Cause I mean, that's a big move to really pull away from Intel. That's basically probably half even more of their revenue. Cause they could sell the cheap stuff to the $399 folks, but to sell the expensive stuff, they sell it to gamers and they sell it to Macs basically.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a revolutionary thing here. I mean, the big benefits of the silicon, aside from the business aspect of now Apple being completely vertical, is you're going to be able to run iOS apps, mm-hmm. and they're also going to get rid of the fan. Doesn't need a fan. And right now, the fan is the thickest part of a laptop.
Yeah.
So they're saying that they're going to have really razor thin laptops because they don't have to have that fan anymore.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. I mean, once battery technology gets and 5G come about, you can basically do all kinds of wild stuff. You can reduce antenna size. You can make the thing super thin.
Yeah, well, the fan takes up quite a bit of space. Mm-hmm. So as you said, they can, you know, make bigger batteries, other components, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's a great move.
Yeah, I'm looking here. It looks like you can run iOS apps, but a lot of iOS companies a lot of iOS makers aren't going to port.
I read Facebook and a couple of other guys already are screaming about it. I don't know why. I mean, why would they care? How does it affect Facebook?
It's another, so if we're being honest, it's another headache for them in terms of development. So you want your development chain to be as simple as possible. You want to be able to compile, like, I don't know, three versions and submit them to one or two app stores. In this case, you basically are in a situation where you have iOS. You don't really have a desktop app for Facebook, for example. It's all web-based, and that's fine. But something like, what did I just read? Something like, Facebook has chosen not to do it, and Google, all of Google. So you're not going to get native YouTube apps for Mac OS, but I mean, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. Who cares about having a native YouTube app when you basically have the website?
Yeah, but I mean, agreed, but I find it hard to believe that a company the size of Facebook and Google and these guys, like, I'm pretty sure they have a lot of engineers. I mean, how hard could it be?
It's not hard. It's just a pain in the ass because you basically have to test it for every potential screen size.
Okay, so test it for every screen size.
Yeah, there's going to be designed for iPad, not verified for Mac OS. So you basically have a situation where you have like a gigantic screen, like if you have a big iMac or whatever, and you want to look at, I don't know, Facebook, it's going to look like junk, essentially. I don't know.
A lot of white space.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of white space. But I mean, there's a lot of white space on websites anyway, so it's not that big a deal, but whatever.
As the greatest designers say, don't fear the white space.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have a huge screen, like I'm looking at 9-to-5 Mac right now, for example, and there's probably about there's you could there's so much white space around it, you could probably put in like two or three more articles on the sides here just for kicks.
Right.
So,
well, the other big Apple news, the search engine.
They're doing. See, I didn't look at that.
Supposedly, they are developing a search engine. They get $14 billion a year from Google being the default.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they've had enough of it, or maybe it's antitrust concerns on both companies' ends, but the rumor is that Apple's developing a search engine, and I hope so, because it would be phenomenal.
I mean,
picture search engine with no ads. And I don't think that Apple would have ads.
Yeah, but they'd eventually get to that. They'd eventually get to a point where they would have to do that.
Why?
I don't know. It seems like, yeah. So apparently there's something called Applebot, apple.com. So let go Applebot. I don't know. It feels a little bit, yeah, there's the web caller for Apple. So, So what sounds like they're trying to do is they're trying to build up Spotlight and Siri. So obviously you're in a situation like where you have to ask Siri a question, like what's happening in the movie theater tomorrow or whatever, like what's playing at the movies tomorrow. And then it's got to do a search for that. And the way it would do it now is it would probably use some kind of API to connect with Google. That's where they don't want to do that. So they're basically in a situation where they want to have their own way to answer those questions, and Spotlight suggestions as well. That's kind of the same kind of thing.
Well, they got to do something because Siri is really awful.
Well,
Siri is probably the worst Apple product.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Siri button on your MacBook. You press it and you're actually frustrated by it, which is stupid.
Well, Google Assistant is just so much better. I mean, so much better.
Yeah. I mean, we use Alexa, for example, all the time. So it's mostly Alexa here in this family. But yeah, Siri is like the one that I don't use. I was actually thinking about getting a new HomePod, the HomePod Mini. Didn't make any sense because I never use Siri. There's no real benefit to it.
Well, you know, with Apple's and their privacy policy and how they handle all that stuff, I would love to see a search engine. And I really believe I don't think that they would do ads. I really don't.
I'll give you that. I'll give it to you but I would argue, I would argue that they're really into making money. So they'd figure out a way to do it.
It's the same thing with all their other products. I mean, if they wanted to get into that whole space, they could be there already. And apparently they don't.
We'll see.
Yeah. So exciting times. I'm glad that at least it's going to be delayed. I just bought a MacBook Pro last week.
Oh, no. You're not going to get your Silicon.
No. Well, when are those coming out?
Next couple months, definitely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I got screwed again.
Yeah, you got screwed again.
Perfect.
You just sell it when you're done. We got about 3 minutes. So did you see this J.D. Vance thing? The Hillbilly Elegy is coming out on Netflix.
I heard of the Hillbilly Elegy. This is Ron Howard's new film,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, it's a Ron Howard movie. It's got...
And it's about white trash or something?
Yeah, basically. It's about Middletown, Ohio, which was on like the Hillbilly Trail, they call it, right? So so you go from... You came from Appalachia and you went up into Ohio where you worked in Akron or you worked in Toledo. Akron was tires. Toledo was kind of shipping and car parts and stuff. And then you settled in Middletown or one of these small towns. And my grandparents lived in Martins Ferry, right near the steel mills. But J.D. Vance is this guy who wrote a book on it, growing up out in the country. Right. And it's like, and I grew up out in the country too. And absolutely, it's really bad right now. He's a little younger than me, I guess. So he kind of got the brunt of the freaking opiate wars. But all I remember is that everybody had a nice car and they had an outdoor pool, not the nice kind of outdoor pool, one of those little plastic ones
above the ground.
Yeah, above ground. It was a good life. But he's kind of used this as sort of he's used this tale of woe as a way to build out these investments with Steve Case. Now I think he's doing his own investments, but the biggest problem is they're not actually investing in like Middletown. They're investing in the Valley. Really. It's kind of like, you're just kind of like, it's like doing a geographic.
Yeah. I saw that Thiel has some guy in the Midwest also looking at, you know, Heartland type companies and investments. I'm not sure that it's not just like kind of PR.
Well, So the trick with the Heartland, quote unquote, is that I would do all these events and I'd go out there and I'd be like, look, guys, you guys are really into this stuff, rock and roll. Let's do some amazing work with your ideas or whatever. But there was no follow through. They didn't see any urgency in it. So everybody's getting frustrated. And yeah, definitely there's some crazy startups out there that are doing good stuff, but they're the ones that really take off are like marketing, logistics, software as a service stuff that doesn't really help, doesn't really, you can't really hire a lot of people to do them because it's basically just a service. And you don't really change anything. You could basically do the same thing anywhere in the world and it would be fine. And in fact, if you did it in Ukraine, it would be a lot cheaper. So it's really frustrating. I just can't figure out the answer, how like somebody in Akron, Ohio can really get noticed. And a guy like JD Vance is exactly the kind of guy that they need. Who's like, hey, I'm going to invest in you or whatever, but they're not doing it. He's not doing it. Nobody's doing it. Like Drive Capital is this big company in Columbus, Ohio, and it's just not happening. Hmm. Yeah, Vance just started a new VC. It looks like Naria.
Well, I know Utah is a hub as well.
Yeah,
and I forgot where it was. I think it was in the New York Times. Actually, they did a big article about Utah. I forgot what they call it, like Mormon Valley.
I know. Utah is a great place for that, and it's because it's so close to the coast. You can kind of live there, and you can rock and roll. That's pretty good, but it just doesn't. Nobody pays attention to anything.
Yeah, you have Micron based out of Utah.
Yeah, you got Micron, and you got Denver around the corner, which is a lot of government work. So the money is there. If the money isn't there, if you're in Akron and there's no paying customers, and you don't have a sense, you don't have like a feeling, a gut feeling on how to expand out of your local area, then you're stuck. You're basically, I mean, no amount of money will save you, actually. And in fact, the only way to save yourself is to go to Silicon Valley, which is what you don't want.
Well, everybody's leaving Silicon Valley, apparently.
Where are they going? They're going to
go to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Or they're going to Austin.
Right. Austin everywhere. I just read, Elon moved that boring company down to Austin.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you got everyone's favorite podcaster just moved there, Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Austin's. It's funny how Austin's going to be transformed into basically a little mini Nazi enclave.
Yeah.
Right? Austin was always like the cool part of Texas, liberals and hippies and keep Austin weird. And now it's like every right wing douchebag is moving there for tax purposes.
Well, you got barbecue down there. All right, let's close this up. We're going to see what the Silicon is happening. They're going to announce on Tuesday. So we will see what happens.
I'm excited.
All right. This has been Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And we will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.